Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us for another Help and Hope for Families broadcast. I'm Tim Tucker, affiliate staff with Family Life in the Pittsburgh area, and I'm joined tonight with Scott and Catherine Mercer, part of our Pittsburgh Family Life team, and Tom and Pam Jones. Tom is an associate pastor and a licensed Christian counselor, and Pam is a real estate agent in the Pittsburgh area. So thank you, folks, for being with us tonight.
Tim, thanks so much for having
us.
We really appreciate
thank you.
It.
Good to be here, Tim. Thank you.
Well, I want to talk tonight about a very essential key in a successful marriage, and that is forgiveness, and why forgiveness is so important in a marriage relationship. I believe one of the greatest causes of broken marriages today is an unforgiving spirit. Mm. We harbor bitterness, resentment to our spouses or even other people in or outside our family that was never dealt with. Offenses that could have happened 10, 20, 30 more years ago that still fester in our minds, that kind of poison our thoughts toward that mate even today. And Christians are not immune to this either. Mm. So, Tom, what does an unforgiving spirit do in the heart of a husband or a wife?
Well, Tim, I think you mentioned it there. I think it can so easily turn to bitterness. And very often, it can be anger. And when we're angry, we're focused on what's happening to me. And I realized one day as a counselor, and this may seem odd to people, but it dawned on me one day that as a counselor, I get paid to help people be sad. And what I mean by that is that when people are angry, and a lot of times unforgiveness comes from a place of I'm angry at you because how you treated me, you don't deserve to be forgiven, I'm angry at how you treated me, whereas when we become sad, we're able to look at the overall picture, we're able to see right. the bigger part yeah. of the story. Like, for example, if you why did you do what led to that? So I think it can turn to anger and to bitterness and just really begin to consume us.
Isn't anger a kind of a secondary emotion? It's a byproduct. It's an offshoot of something much deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's a stage of grief. You know, typically, in fact, it's typically the second stage of grief, whether it's a betrayal or whatever. Typically, it's denial. The first stage is typically denial. Like, wait a minute, no, I can't. No, this isn't supposed to be happening. Yeah. But then once we realize it is happening, and then boom, we're angry. We're angry because angry gives us the ability to fight back. Anger places us in a protective mode.
I remember Dr. Howard Hendricks, I heard him say one time that as we grow older, we either become bitter or better. So, Catherine and Pam, what kind of fruit does a bitter heart bear?
Yeah, you know, and that is a great statement you just made, and especially as we look at that, right, Tim, in the context of a believer, someone who has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a war that can kind of play out. And I've heard it said that lack of forgiveness is like drinking poison. You mentioned poison before. And you drink that in, and you expect the other person to die. Mm-hmm. But who's the one that really dies?
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. If that were me, I do. Mm-hmm. And I'm bearing the weight of something that maybe this other person has no idea what's going on. I see bitterness as the opposite direction of the fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians, you know? We're held prisoner rather than experiencing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. What a thing to be robbed of because we cannot forgive.
Right. And bitterness also, I mean, it's not only the bitterness inside you, but it rots your soul, really. I mean, you exude that to everybody around you. The bitterness comes out. You're angry with everything.
Nobody wants to hang around a bitter person. Right?
No.
It's that root of bitterness, the Bible says, that defiles many. It doesn't just stay with you. It goes and spreads many times.
Right.
Other people can see it as well.
You know, Tim, we actually, I was thinking about this. We dabbled in this topic last year when we had our series, same kind of thing. My personal story in terms of the unforgiveness is when my parents divorced when I was a kid, I had to reconcile how do I work through this idea of forgiveness of my parents. I'm supposed to biblically honor them, and yet these things were kind of done more by my dad than my mom. And I saw that bitterness, what it did to people, what it did to my parents when they looked at each other, when they're in relationship. And I didn't want to live that way. So my thought about it is, do I want to live with regret? If I harbor a bitterness and I push someone away, then someday down the road, I might very much regret not having perhaps some precious time with them.
Absolutely. Yes.
Because I'm bitter towards them. And so I've often thought, and a thing that really made a difference in my mind was, am I living with regret? Is there something that's happened in a relationship that I regret doing or thinking or feeling that I need to reconcile? And that includes forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to somehow, you realize forgiveness isn't dependent on the other person.
That's right.
It's dependent on me.
That's right.
Because another person doesn't have to grant me forgiveness. Mm-hmm. In order for me to say, I forgive you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's really important.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, as you were thinking or talking there, Scott, the thought came to my mind is bitterness gives us a sense of protection. Because as long as I'm bitter, I don't have to be vulnerable. Mm. I can stay bitter. I can stay angry. And so it feels like a protector. But in really what you were saying there, and I could be losing out on a potentially good relationship, what feels like a protector is really robbing us.
Right.
It's like someone who's being close to us but picking our pockets all at the same time. Feel like a protector, but it's really a robber.
So if you're out there and listening to this and you're harboring, you don't know what this person did to me. How do I forgive them? I can't forgive them. Look at this. You don't know them.
Right.
What do we say?
Right. I say to them, listen, search deep in your heart. And think about what you might be missing out on. You know, Pam, I was thinking a moment ago, given our situation, and I know you haven't had a moment to think about this. I'm just throwing this out here.
She's under the bus.
How easily would our situation, if you would have focused on what I did, how could that have turned to bitterness for you?
Well, I won't deny that there wasn't a little bit of bitterness about the situation.
Yeah.
In the beginning, and I think sometimes it takes God a little while to work that out of you. So the bitterness might be there, but in turning that over to God and just allowing Him to work in you, and that's it would have been a much different situation because you want to walk away. You want to get away from pain, and that's what the bitterness
protect
is pain
from the
inside.
Pain.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, Pam, you remind us of a very good thing, because while there's the act of forgiveness, the what comes with it is a journey. Yeah. It's a marathon.
Yeah.
And so it is a season, a lifelong. I mean, Tom, you're the counselor. You can help us out with language. But that process of forgiveness, I believe you. It's not immediate. I don't see it as immediate. God works on in our heart through the power of the Spirit to give us that ultimate desire to lose the bitterness and embrace the joy.
And it gives us that grace to do so.
Yeah.
And it is grace, and it doesn't come overnight. Yeah. And it's just that little bit. Letting go over time.
And in a previous session, we said forgiveness doesn't mean forgiving and forgetting.
Right.
It doesn't mean that when I forgive someone, that all of a sudden everything has to be restored, like nothing ever happened, and we just got to pretend and go on. No. It just means I, in my heart, am saying, no, I'm going to put this aside. I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to dwell on it. Mm-hmm. But now there's the work of rebuilding.
To use the language of Scripture, right, in Romans, then we're choosing not to hold this against the other person.
Perfect. Yes.
That is what we choose. And we choose it willingly, knowing that God, who is the just judge, will take care of the places that are the spiritual gaps that we can't.
Let's look at Scripture, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you.
Mm-hmm. You know,
those
verses,
are such powerful words.
In those verses, one I just mentioned a few minutes ago, but Hebrews 12, 14 to 15, that says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and by it many be defiled.
Yeah. If we're bitter, mm-hmm. are we going to see God in that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If we harbor that resentment, is God right. present in that?
You know, let's take that a step farther, guys. It's easy for us to sit behind these microphones and think, you know, it may seem like we're experts, but all of us here have walked this road.
Yeah.
Yes. Not only do we sometimes need to be, not only do we need to forgive, but we also need to be forgiven. You know, look at Matthew 6, 14 through 15, where Jesus said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespassers." I mean, look at that. Yeah. That's all of us, I'm not going to be forgiven. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we all need to be forgiven yeah. at some point.
Yeah, you know, I never think about it in terms of I'm okay. I'm good. It's all good. And everybody else has to be coming to me. And
right.
But yet I'm the one who needs the forgiveness.
Absolutely.
You know, I have to remember that. I have to humble myself. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not perfect and everybody's got it.
Right.
Everybody's got to come to me.
Right.
No, I need that forgiveness too. It's a humbling experience. It makes it so much easier to be able to forgive another when I realize I'm forgiven.
When we realize how perfect. Much we've been forgiven
yeah.
of
yeah.
and how then we can turn around
not just
and
you and you and you. No, but
that's
me.
Right. It's me.
Good stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like, how can we not show the same grace to another person who has wounded
Absolutely.
Us, who mm-hmm. offended us, as the grace of Jesus Christ was shown to us?
Yeah,
I mean, he just bestowed lavishly grace upon us and forgiven us, though undeserved that we were.
Yeah.
How can we not forgive someone else who's offended us too as well, mm-hmm. in the power of the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tim, that is not easy, though. Somebody's out there listening and saying, you do not know my situation. I cannot
right.
forgive that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I simply say, have you really put everything, all your marbles on God?
Mm-hmm.
Have you put all your eggs there? Is everything resting on God?
And maybe you need to talk to somebody. There's a type of therapy called forgiveness therapy,
mm-hmm.
where it's actually where you're talked through the process. I've done that
yes.
with folks.
Yeah. That was just my thoughts, Tom, as we were talking about this around the table. This isn't time for us to not be alone,
mm-hmm.
to seek out safe, biblical
mm-hmm.
coaches, counselors, mm-hmm. friends, your pastor,
yep.
if that
mm-hmm.
is the case,
yep.
and begin the journey.
Right.
One step, one day at a time.
That's
Absolutely.
Right. And give it time. Yeah. Give it time.
Big topic at our weekend to remember,
mm-hmm.
forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit more about that, Scott.
Yeah, so one of our sessions specifically is on this idea of seeking and granting forgiveness, because we all do need to do that. We all need to be professional forgivers.
Mm-hmm.
So our weekend to remember comes twice in October, once in October, once in November.
Yep, weekendtoremember.com in case you'd like to find out more about how you can get there. 1-800-FL-TODAY will get you on the phone and talking to someone so you can get registered.
Right, so October 29 to 31 is our first event. November 12 to 14 is our second. We have a two-day event coming. 2.5 days.
And we hope each of you can join us next week again for Help and Hope for Families.